Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 186. And as always, we are so glad that you've chosen to spend a few minutes with us.
We are, and we are also very grateful for the listeners out there, and we are grateful for the support from Multicopter Warehouse, from GPC, and other sponsors that have kind of hopped in along the line. And if you want to get your name out there, give us a ring. Otherwise, if you have a question, because that's what we're here for, answering your questions.
Absolutely.
Give us a ring, askdroneyou.com. And by a ring, Rob, I mean crazy sounds with your mouth during questions.
Yeah.
I don't know why people would do that, but hey, let's keep it fun.
Hey, why not? If hey, you're willing, we're willing to listen.
Let's go Ace Ventura on this.
Oh, man. I would love to hear you guys just go nuts. Please.
But you know what? That brings us to our question today, which is a very interesting one. I just want to say I don't remember the original question because I have some preface questions before we answer his actual question. But Rob, what do you say we get right in it?
Let's do it.
Hello, Wal and Paul. Good morning from Greece. My name is Pavlos, and at first, I would like to thank you for answering my previous question a few months ago regarding the DJI E310 propulsion system. Today, I'd like to share with you a really bad experience I had yesterday with my Phantom 2. I was flying in GPS mode when suddenly it started rolling and just plummeted to the ground. It turned out, after a bit of investigation, that one of the ESC's cable had snapped very close to the shoulder joint on the ESC, possibly from fatigue, as these cables are double-strand wires rather than expensive flexible silicone ones. Watching the video that I recorded afterwards in slow motion, it clearly showed the front right motor and the propeller stopped spinning. I chatted on a forum as well, and a drone technician told me that it has happened again on Phantoms, but I was under the impression that these machines are built to very high standards, and the cables wouldn't be allowed to vibrate freely, you know. Luckily, it was a test flight. I was not flying close to people or anything. But it really made me think that I need to step up to a Y6 or something that can recover from single motor failure. I'm really afraid now to fly my Phantom again, although I've checked every single cable and put loads of hot glue and tape almost to every shoulder point to prevent breaking from fatigue, like from the vibrations. Have you guys ever encountered something like this before? I just like your opinion on that because I know you guys use a lot of DJI stuff. I would like to thank you very, very much for what you're providing to the RC community, the drone community now. I'm currently starting up my own drone business, very small scale one, doing commercials for hotels around the islands of Greece. I'm really looking forward to hear your next podcast. Thank you for everything, guys.
So, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Did he install the E310 or 300 propulsion system himself on the Phantom, or did he get an upgrade from a dealer?
I don't think he was clear about that.
Because I have so many questions. Because I remember him asking us what we thought of that propulsion system, and yes, it is an upgrade, but is it frankly needed for most Phantoms? No. If you're building an E450 or a little mini quad, whatever. Yeah, they're great. But if he replaced the motors himself with that package, if he had it done with that package, I just think the efficiency gain is not worthy of the step up.
Okay, and perhaps worthy of the additional failure risk.
Exactly, because, you know, Rob, it brings me back to when we first built the Y6 and we were going through all the different ESCs, and when additional parts are put in that are different from the manufacturer's norm, what is it called? You entertain new problems. You bring in new problems. Also with those new problems, for example, the solder joints. If there's just even a smidgen of too much solder, you create a resistor.
Right.
And it heats up and it makes the ESC fail, which has happened to us. That was my fault. I'll be the one to admit it.
Well.
And also, it's happened to us because of ESCs that just couldn't handle the load that we were pushing out. Even though they said they were rated for it, they weren't. And we've had this problem ourselves. So...
Well, one thing I do wonder about is he said that he's afraid to fly it again. I presume that means he fixed it or he sent it. I don't know what's going on there, but let me ask you this. Is this an issue that if he sends it back to DJI, they'll take care of for him? Do you believe that's the case?
I would imagine so. I mean, I can't say for sure. We're not DJI. I would imagine so. You know, in most cases, it takes 6 to 8 weeks for that to happen. Him being in Greece, I don't know how his closest DJI... distributor, dealer, service, you know,
right.
Service center. I don't know where that would be. So I don't know, but I have a few more questions for him. You know, he was talking about, well, I'm afraid to fly, like you said. Well, if this thing has been built over and over, for me, I would just rather have a new rig.
Well, and we're making an assumption there. It's kind of hard to tell if it's something that's been messed with, if you will, in terms of how it's built. Or if it's just something that came directly from DJI and they had this, and he had this issue.
If that is the case, then he needs to send it back immediately. I mean, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, he brings up a good point. I want to maybe move up to a hex, or I want to move up to an octo.
Right.
Excuse me. And why do we do that? Well, it's for points of redundancy. It's if a motor does fail, then are we going to be able to fly?
We're going to be able to get it down without crashing, probably.
Yeah, and you've been there for one of those, too.
Yeah, so. It's stressful.
It is stressful, especially when you've got 17-inch blades rotating at 11,000 RPM. But with the extra points of redundancy, if you do have a motor failure, if you do have an ESC failure, are you still going to crash? Yes, especially with a hexacopter. When you lose one motor, it's not like you go into flying a quad, because think about your payload decreases instantly.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many factors. Will you be able to bring down? Yes. Is it going to be a hard landing? Yes. Will you have mostly everything in one piece? Yes.
All of that said, so that is a great reason to go to a 6, right?
Yeah, but if you're going to go to a 6, you might as well go to an 8.
Okay, so there's that issue, but I don't see you flying 6s or 8s. You're still doing the quads.
I am, because the Solo is a great vehicle. The Inspire 1 is a great vehicle. You know, like he says, you know, he expects DJI to have a high platform of quality, excuse me, a high level of quality.
Right.
And he should, and I feel like DJI does have a very high level of, this is just skipping my brain here.
Well, regardless, we do know that I would say that we have not heard of this happening very often at all. So it seems to be unusual in terms of what we're hearing. And so, yeah, I think it is unusual for this kind of thing to be happening, because he says, do you guys have any experience with this? I would say no. Have you ever had this happen? This hasn't happened to your P2, right?
No, this
or
has never...
Or P3.
No. Does it happen, though? Do manufacturers have issues? Yes,
sure.
Everyone does.
Sure.
Is it possible? Yes, it's absolutely possible. Do you add risk when you try to upgrade these consumer drones? Yes, especially with the newer series of drones like the P3, the I-1.
Because these are made to be flown out of the box for the most part.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So if you're trying to get something more redundant, yeah, you definitely want to go with a kit. You don't want to totally build your own. But realize that when you make mods to these consumer drones, they're really not built for it. It's like, you know, when you buy an M3 BMW, are you going to put, you know, a tail fin on it and change out the exhaust and all that?
I hope not.
I hope not too, because that machine was built to race.
Yeah.
So there's no point in messing with it unless you want to introduce more problems.
Sure, sure.
So
what would we tell him at this point? What does he do? Because he's got the fear factor.
He does, and that's never good when you're flying.
No, and I think that's, obviously, that's specifically related to this particular drone. Would you try to get this drone fixed? Would you just set it aside, turn it into a paperweight? What's the reality of where he goes now?
Well, you know, there are different options, and I don't want to seem like I'm just, you know, throwing thousands of dollars around, but for my confidence and for my, I always seek to be the safest drop.
Sure.
And I want to be able to count on my machine whenever I can. And that means I don't want to play with something that's been broken, and I know that there is a risk. I would rather buy something brand new.
This machine has definitely been compromised. And to get back to having the level of confidence that you would with a brand new one, he's probably not going to get there.
I don't think so. Or it'll take significant time.
Yeah.
Should he send it back to DJI? Absolutely. Will they help him? I'm sure they're going to help him. Yeah, I would just say, I know that sounds like a lot of money to just go out and get another one. But for the safety factor, for the reliability factor, I would say, yes, get another one.
Yeah.
Even get that one fixed, but I still think you're not going to have that level of confidence that you would normally have when you have a brand new one.
Right, and we are presuming that he's earning a living, or at least has a business going with this drone. That is a factor as opposed to being a hobbyist.
A hobbyist.
Whoops.
It's okay. It's been one of those days, Rob. No big deal.
It has been. Anyways, one other point is that for you, Paul, this happening wouldn't keep you from getting another Phantom 2.
Absolutely
not. Clearly.
And we just got a new Phantom 2 because, well, if you're in part of the Drone U community group, you would see why.
What happened? Cool video, actually.
It is a cool video. It's one of the only videos that I've seen out there where you can say, well, I lost a bird, and it was not my fault at all.
No.
I mean, it's blatant in the video, too.
Other than maybe you're too good of a pilot, and therefore it allowed you to get too close to the subject.
That's true. Very true. Anyway, if you haven't seen that or checked that out at the Drone U community, you definitely should. It's a video that involves ropes and surfing. And drones.
And drones.
And 90 feet of water.
Scuba drones.
But yeah, you know, going back to this, to his situation, I almost feel bad because I know he asked us earlier, what do you think of this system? It's a great system of motors, but we should have clarified, you know, you really shouldn't upgrade a consumer level drone. Even with the T motor setup for the Phantom, you don't gain that much efficiency.
Right.
A little bit of power, maybe a minute of flight time if you fly like a baby girl.
Right.
So
like me?
Yes.
No. Anyways.
Anyways. Yeah, I would say, you know, I recommend get a new one, send that one into DJI, try to get to the bottom of the problem. I really want to hear back from you, though. And if you would answer our questions so that we can answer them, too, and conclude this story for the community. I never want to leave a case open, Rob.
No, that's a great point. So, yeah, fill in the holes for us.
Yes.
And let us bring this to a conclusion.
I feel like we're turning into the NCIS of dronage.
It's fun.
We need, like, our own little acronym.
We'll work on that.
The DIF, the Drone Investigative Firm.
No, we don't have time for that.
That's too private. We need something more government.
That's, oh no, nothing government, please. Enough government.
Well, we're going to have an update for you guys soon coming up on the congressional meeting and hearing with the FAA. Some of you are going to find it largely entertaining. I'm going to spend some time this weekend and putting something together because I just think it is too good not to have on the air.
Yeah, and you had a great interview with some...
With John.
Yep.
So we are...
some great perspectives there.
Our legal review on the $1.9 million fine is coming up as well, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy getting that out to you guys. So if you have a question, like Pablos in Greece, thank you again, Pablos. Please go to askdroneu.com, shoot us a question, and we'll get it on the air just as soon as we can. Guys, this podcast is nothing without hearing from you, and we love to do so. So
we really do.
Hop in there.
We really do. Also, if you have any stories about your process, if you got a Section 333 exemption, if you didn't get one, if you've had incidents on trying to notify towers or not, tell us your story. We want to get them out there. We really are about evolving this community, and we can't do that without you.
Yeah, we need your help. Absolutely. Sponsors?
Sponsors, thank you again for the support, Multicopter Warehouse, where you can join the aerial revolution at multicopterwarehouse.com. Also, special thanks to Go Professional Cases. Stay true. Stay blue, Rob.
Absolutely.
Like your shirt today.
Yes,
it almost matches the color of the foam.
Foam?
Yeah, the blue foam.
Oh, yeah, that's right, from the case. Absolutely.
Definitely. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.